Welcome everybody to another episode of the My Life, Your Life Together podcast with part two of Ask Us Anything with Pastor Matt.
Hey.
And I will kill the movie magic. This is 15 seconds after
after last
episode. Yes.
Why it was just that.
Do you know how hard it is to schedule time with people? So yeah, but we are going to, you know, if you haven't listened to that, go listen to it.
It's great.
It's not like it leads into this one, but it's great.
There's a lot of, y'all sent in some really good questions, so we had good conversation. It was just getting so long. We had to split it into, you know, two episodes. So if your question didn't get answered in the first episode, maybe hang tight. One. It should get answered in this one.
So let's dive in. I asked this question because I don't know that I know it about you. What is your favorite flower or plant?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So also, Pastor Matt used to run a nursery.
Yep. I was going to say, backstory.
Yeah.
He used to work in, you know.
We owned and ran a plant nursery landscape company for 20 years. And the first time I went to college out of high school for nursery management, I have a huge background in plants. One of the courses we had to take in college that first time around was woody plant ID, and kids had taken it like three times and still failed it. And I got a 98 on my first time through. I just love plants. And one of my favorite things is the variety and the difference, you know, all of the different varieties. All right. So when we did the books, I did fiction, nonfiction. So for plants, I'll do like tree, shrub, and perennial. How's that?
That's perfect.
So
for the listeners, what's a perennial? Because until I married your daughter,
we'll explain as we go. Okay. So favorite
what's
shrub,
a tree?
No. Favorite shrub is probably Daphne Carol Mackey. And probably most of you, 99% of you, have never even heard of that.
You just made that up, didn't you?
It's not. It's not made up.
It's like those are people.
You can Google it. Daphne Carol Mackey.
Okay.
That's the name of the shrub. And it's a semi-evergreen, green and white leaf bush. And it has flowers that somewhat resemble a viburnum or kind of like a lilac in that same, like they're tubular and trumpeted. Very, very fragrant, pretty pink, white flower. Definitely my favorite shrub plant. Favorite tree. Oh, geez. I would have to say favorite tree is the ruby horse chestnut. It's a red, reddish, dark pink, reddish flower, horse chestnut. Yep. That's the Carol Mackey.
Yeah, I for our listeners, I looked it up to see a picture of it. Sorry.
Favorite tree, ruby horse chestnut, you know, grows about 20 to 40 feet tall, big, big red pink flowers in the spring. It does kind of lose its leaves early in the fall due to a fungus that gets on it normally. But it's worth it. I think it's really just a pretty, pretty tree. So that's my favorite tree. Favorite perennial, boy, that's a really tough one too. Just to get down to one segment and then pick a favorite. But I have to say peonies because they're my wife's favorite flower. And I like them because they're hardy, they're sturdy, they come back really well. They come in a variety of colors, shades of pink mostly, which pink is my favorite color flower.
Nice. That's good to know.
There you go.
Those are good answers. I didn't know any of those. Well, I knew the peonies, but yeah, look at me.
Bang.
Well done. All right. So this question, I actually kind of know the story of, but I think this is a great one that I want to get to, is number 35. Is it true that you wore through the tops of your shoes?
So there's truth to the story. I didn't wear through them, but I wore the tops of my shoes down to the point where shoe polish would no longer stick to them. Okay. So shortly after marriage, actually it was before we got married, my wife and I, as many people know, this is no secret. We got pregnant before we got married. We were both Christians. We had gotten saved, and our lifestyle didn't line up with everything that Christ had called us to do. We got pregnant before we got married. And it was at that point that my life went from having Jesus as my savior to making Jesus my Lord.
Yeah.
And so it was that point where it changed from me just having a what I thought was a free ticket to heaven to making Jesus Lord over every area of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, everything was crashing down around me. My life was what I thought was fully in control before was completely out of control. It was a complete train wreck. And I invited God in to fully take control of my life. And I did that through hours and hours and hours and hundreds of hours of time in prayer on my knees. And so while I would pray on my knees, I would have my feet flipped back mm-hmm. and the toes of my shoes would be resting on the carpet. And I wore the tops of the shoes down in prayer to the point where you could not get, I would try and polish them. I'd put all the polish on and it just wouldn't stick. And yeah, I wore the tops of my shoes up.
Wow.
That's awesome. That is great.
Yep.
So if you think you spent some time in prayer, pray.
Do you still have the shoes?
I don't. I should have kept them.
Dang.
Yeah.
At the time, you're like, ah, these shoes are just worn out.
Yeah.
Throw them out.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, make a new pair.
Yeah. Make a new pair. Pastor Matt's like, I've learned I can pray without having to be on my knees now.
It was back in the days when I was young and I could be in that position for hours on end. If I'm in that position now, my legs go numb and my feet start to, you know, bad
you know
happen.
who like I can't wrap my head around. Ariana does that, like when she like goes to her knees for prayer or worship or something, I'm like, I couldn't hold that position for 12 and a half seconds.
Right.
I can't same. Breathe when I do that. I'm like, all right, well,
yeah,
I got to get in better shape so I could face down pray more.
Wow.
I can lay down. That's fine.
There you go. Lay down.
Yes. This one's like kind of in between of everything. Number 13, because space travel's fun. You know, what do you think of Elon Musk and his plans for Mars, to go to Mars? It's going to work out.
I don't even know much about it, to be honest with you.
He just wants to go to Mars. He wants to get people to Mars.
I think it's doable. I mean,
I think why not?
We're humans. We can do anything. It's been how many years? It's been 50 years since we went to the moon. Somebody should do something new that's exciting.
That's fair.
So do you believe we landed on the moon?
I don't know.
Did we ask this question? We asked this question the last AMA, right?
I think so.
You and I have had this conversation.
In one of our episodes, we had... Because it was unscripted, and we had this weird pause moment where we were like, wait, are you which side of this argument are you on? But yeah, yeah, like...
I wouldn't put it past it for the human ingenuity to have been able to do it, but I also wouldn't put it past the government to set the whole thing up just to win the Cold War.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same. Like, I...
That's kind of... Both are plausible. Everything's
yeah.
plausible.
Yeah. I mean... We're smart enough to figure it out.
Yeah.
If we didn't do it, we should have.
Exactly.
We were lazy that day. Get the film crew in here.
Just Hollywood the thing. Make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think it's cool and ambitious. I think, you know, if people stop trying to do ambitious things, it's kind of a scary sentiment. Like, there should always be improvement going on. There was a quote, you know, don't practice to be the best, just practice to keep getting better. You know, don't make a ceiling for yourself. So it's ambitious.
I like
that. And I think he is an eccentric man, so I hope things are done thoughtfully with safety in mind.
Yeah.
And I think I'll leave it at that.
Well, I mean, think about even the attempts to go to the moon, how many people died even just on the platform.
Right.
With those just rockets attempting. And stuff, you know, it's crazy.
Okay, I'm just thinking of this. You're one of the astronauts that lands on Mars. Like, one, how cool and exciting would that be? And at the same time, how absolutely terrifying would that be?
Yeah, if anything goes wrong, there is no like
No help.
No. Help is not coming.
I don't like planes. I don't like flying to other countries. You're talking to you to put me on another planet?
Yeah. Wow. Like.
No. No, thank you.
Yep.
That's for other people.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to jump to another good question right below that one. 14. How do you know you are being genuine? And can you only have a relationship with God through genuine feelings, or can you make that relationship through sheer effort alone?
So I don't believe it can be through feelings alone, right? Obviously, there are feelings that we will have in a relationship. Just like we have in any relationship, I have relationship with you, Zach. I have relationship with you, Zach, and there's feelings there. There's emotions there. I have a relationship with my wife, and there's a lot of feelings there. Mm-hmm. But there is a lot of effort that I put into any one of those relationships, whether it's your relationship, your relationship, or the relationship that I have with my wife. There's a lot of effort that goes into that relationship, and so it's no different with our relationship with Christ. There is a lot of effort that's put forth. And the first most important thing, I mean, you guys know that I'm going to say this right now, is you have to know your word. If you're going to know Jesus, and if you want to have a relationship with him, you have to know the Bible, because this is the beginning of the relationship with him. And so you have to put forth that effort to read the book, to get it in you, to get to this point where you can start to have this relationship with him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a feeling that goes along with it. There's a feeling that we all had the day that we got saved, we gave our life to Christ. And there's feelings that we have as we come to a deeper level of relationship with him. But just in any other relationship, you know, it's not the feelings. Feelings don't always come first. Sometimes it's the effort that comes first and the feelings follow. Yeah. I mean, so like, you know, you think back to the relationship with your wife, you know, for me, there was an immediate, like I saw her, there were butterflies in my stomach. There was that immediate feeling, but then I had to take certain actions to get to that next level, you know, of us going on a date. And then there was, you know, more feelings, but then there was another more effort that I had to put in. And then with the more effort became more feelings.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's the point is that it's not one or the other by themselves.
Right.
They go together.
Exactly.
Like the Bible says, the heart is deceptive above all things, or paraphrasing, that's... And so if it's only based on feeling, you know, the three of us are married here, right? We love our wives, but it's a relationship with a person. You're going to get upset. You're going to get mad at that person. Like... it can't be based solely on feelings, but at the same time, it can't, there's a reason why you married that person. You didn't just pick someone and be like, oh, you'll do, you know, and just do it sheerly based on effort.
Right. And the relationship, I want to say this too, is the relationship is not based on effort alone either.
Yeah.
Right. Because, repentance, although necessary, is in no ways meritorious, right? We don't get reward points for having come through the point of repentance. Yeah. We're saved by grace and grace alone. It's only by God's grace that we're saved.
Yeah.
And so any effort that we put into the relationship really comes from the grace that God gives us to pursue him.
Yeah. We love him because he first loved us.
Bang, bang.
I think question 15 kind of tags off of question 14, so we can dive into that one right after. You know, what is the difference between the Bible being God's word and God speaking in the Bible? God's word inside of God's word. do you want to guess who asked this question?
Oh, no, I know who asked this question. There's no guessing.
I love John.
John's very, he's got a cool, he comes up with really cool questions.
Yeah.
And his brain works in a marvelous way.
Yeah.
I like it.
So, the answer to this question isn't really that complicated unless there's follow-up questions. What is the difference between the Bible being God's word and God speaking in the Bible? So the Bible was written by men who were inspired by God. So when God inspired these men to write what they wrote, and that's how we got the Bible. And then within God inspiring these men to write the books and letters that they wrote, there are direct quotations of what they had heard God say.
Yeah.
And so that's the difference between the Bible being God's word, God inspired these men to write this down, and God speaking within the Bible directly to men that they recorded.
It also makes me think of, right, like you take Matthew, where it gives all the lineages, right? That is God inspired, and it's for a reason, but it's not like God was sitting there to Matthew like, and write, so-and-so was the son of so-and-so was the son of so-and-so, you know.
Right. 48 times.
So. Right. But it's still
80.
Ah, I knew there was an 8.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I don't.
But it still is God inspired because it shows, you know, there's a purpose behind it that's God inspired, whereas it may not have been, like you said, a direct quote from the Lord, but there's purpose behind it to show his lineage that also fulfills prophecy.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know if your answer has changed on this next question.
Okay.
Years ago, I knew what it was. Favorite movie or movie series?
Probably The Matrix.
Still? Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Neo, Trinity, Nebuchadnezzar. Yep. Zion. Yep. Still favorite.
That's good.
Why?
It's just the relationship of the one, the savior. You know, do you know the very first line in the movie, by the way?
I actually don't.
The very first line. So the opening scene is Neo working in his cubicle, and then he goes home and he's doing some stuff, and there's a knock at the door. And Neo opens the door and he hands him the USB drive, and the other guy hands him some money. It's like bootleg copy. And then the guy says, "You're my very own savior, my very own personal Jesus Christ." Opening line of the movie.
Huh. That's super interesting.
I haven't seen the movie in so long.
Yeah.
I always say I'm going to watch all three of them in a row, and I just never do. And
then, did you see the newest one?
I did.
Matrix 4?
Yeah.
It's a little weird.
Yeah, it's kind of just like a recap of the first three with Trinity being in the Neo position, basically.
Yeah.
They needed a payday.
Yeah, I don't know. It didn't take the series anywhere, as I didn't feel.
Yeah.
Do you want to share yours?
I'm still thinking. Do you have...
That's what I got for you.
Wow.
No. It's hard because... I mean, like, my favorite or, like, a movie I can watch anytime. Like, what do I do? I mean.
I already know. I figured out my answer. If you want me to go first. Go okay. It has to be Star Wars for me as a series.
Yeah.
Of course. Now, that doesn't mean that I love every movie
in
the Star Wars universe. Sequel trilogy. they're. I'm not a huge fan of the sequel trilogy, but as a movie series and the universe that it created, I love Star Wars movies. Obviously, if anyone listens to the podcast regularly, you know I'm a big Star Wars nerd. So
there's too many to choose from. I mean, like I'd say series, maybe Harry Potter as a series.
It's a good series too.
Good. I'm just going to roll with that. Otherwise, I'm going to hem and haw for 8.5 hours.
Trying to figure out. So, how do we differentiate the differences between our language and the language of the Bible? Like, the Bible describes love pretty clearly in Corinthians. But what about a word such as respect?
One of the things that I like to do whenever I run into a word and I want to know more about it is I will pull up the original Hebrew or the Greek, and then you do a word study on any one of those words and you immediately begin to reveal deeper meanings of the word.
Yeah.
And I think that that's an invaluable tool for us. And it's pretty easy in today's day and age to get your hands on this. Mm-hmm. I like to use Blue Letter Bible app. It's pretty, it's a free app. It's pretty simple. You just click on the passage and then you click on interlinear concordance and immediately pops up in either the Hebrew in the Old Testament or the Greek in the New Testament. And then it gives you a word for word translation into the Greek, because I can't read Greek, but then you can click on the Greek word and then up pops a very complex, most times, definition of what that word means, multiple meanings to the word. We've had this discussion, I don't know if it was last time, but at breakfast or something, but Hebrew is a layered language. And so every single Hebrew word has three meanings to it. And so it's really important that we understand all three meanings, and then you can understand that any time you read it, it can mean any one of those three things, or it might mean all three things at the same time.
Yeah.
And Greek is very similar. And when you start to do a word study on some of these different words, you come to the understanding that there's a lot more meaning here than you originally read the first time.
Yeah. And I think that also lends to, you know, when it comes to any sort of translation between, you know, even if it's modern times and you're translating between English and French, like,
right,
there's different languages are going to express things differently. So it's, I like looking at the root and then also looking at the context too.
Yeah.
Can.
The more confusing part, I mean, that's a great question, but the more confusing part is the fact that even though we all speak English, we have trouble communicating with one another.
Yeah.
Facts.
Someone will say something in English and I'll think they mean something totally different. And I'm not just talking about slang, you know, and then you add in like body language and all these other things. And now we're like, okay, what are they even saying?
Right.
You know? Yep. And so in one given language, we have this complexity of communication. And we're trying to translate from other, and so there's a huge hurdle for us to get over here. Thank God for the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm excited about another question, if I can ask.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rock and roll.
All right. Pastor Matt.
Yeah.
If you could have any superpower for 24 hours, what would you choose and why?
Probably the ability to fly. You know, I think that would just be fun. Super strength is great, but I don't know. I think that if I could fly.
And it's only 24 hours. I feel like that changes the game.
Yeah. It absolutely does.
Yeah, if it was for a lifetime, it might be different. But if I could fly, you know, take 24 hours and go and see a whole bunch of stuff, you know, it'd be cool.
Yeah.
What if you could freeze time? That 24 hours could last forever.
But then everything's frozen, though.
Yeah.
But then you still only have human powers.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
All right.
I'd have to freeze time, learn how to become a pilot so I could steal a plane and fly everything. Okay. Mine would be along the same lines. I just went to teleporting because that just sounds easier than flying.
Yeah.
Less work.
Yeah.
But if you fly, you could, like, fly up and look over the entire country or over the Grand Canyon. If you're teleporting, then you teleport into the air above the Grand Canyon. You can see it while you're like falling.
Yeah, but, just keep teleporting up.
Huh.
I don't know if that's how that works, but sorry, this is all fictional, so who cares?
Right.
What would your superpower be?
I was thinking flight as well. And the 24 hours significantly changed my answer because it's only 24 hours. If it was, like, all time, I might choose, like, invincibility or, like, you know, Wolverine's healing abilities so I can, you know, never get hurt or things like that. But if it's only for 24 hours, that doesn't really – I mean, it'll help me for one day what I'm going to do with that.
Yeah.
You know.
I read this next question, and the second half of the question is what makes it fun, I think. Number 28, if you could spend a day inside the mind of any animal – which animal would it be? And what do you think you'd learn? And I don't know why, but mine was a beaver. Because I don't know why it's a beaver. I'm not like, I've never been obsessed with beavers, but the more I thought about animals and what they do, like beavers are on the move working, they have to figure out which trees, how many trees, how to get the trees to build their home. And then home gets destroyed and they have the mental fortitude just to do it all over again. I feel like I could learn a lot from a beaver.
That's a great answer.
Yeah.
For mine, as I'm trying to process through this, because at first I was like, my dog, I'd want to like, no, but then again, dogs, I feel like are fairly simple creatures because they're, you know, like they're.
If you want to know what the dog's thinking, just go watch Up.
Yeah. Like, and they're just happy go lucky. And then I thought about, because we have two cats and I was like, cat, I want to know what, because the cats will sit there and do things and you're like, what in the heck is going on in that animal's mind? Like, one day I was watching our newest cat, Zion, and he was walking through our kitchen, and he's just, like, walking like normal, and then all of a sudden, he, like, looks at the ground, arches, and just, like, wigs out, jumping in the air and batting at something that's not there, and freaks out, and then runs, and then is back to, like, I'm trotting. And I was like, was there a bug? But no, there was nothing there. He just, like, spazzed out for a sec and then walks off like nothing's wrong.
Just,
it was
just
like
living life, yo.
Yeah, and I'm like, what is going on in his brain?
So, if I could spend the day inside of the mind of any animal, you know, I don't know that the animals actually think the way that we do, but let's say that they did, then I would probably want to try to be inside the mind of an ant. Think about the teamwork that these guys have,
that's
right?
That's true.
I mean, like, if we could work as a team the way ants work as a team, dude, we'd be undefeatable.
That's true.
It'd be amazing.
I just saw this reel pop up, and the caption was, they're never going to trust this ant again. There was like a quarter of a sandwich on the ground, and you see like this one ant go up and then takes off, so excited that this bounty was there, and goes and gets his ant army. In the meantime, the dude picked up the sandwich and put down a tongue depressor. And so all the ants come back and they're sniffing around it and nobody's taking it because it's not food. And I was like, that is a horrible thing to do. That little ant probably, I don't know.
The boy who cried wolf times a thousand.
He got executed. I don't know what happened, but he did not
have
a good day.
We've got enough food for 3 years.
Oh. You're the savior. You're the worst.
And then where this is just wood.
I like the answer of an ant, though. I think you're
that's a great answer.
Yeah, we got time for a few more.
This one also, because did you or have you ever met a Karen?
I don't think so.
I'm assuming this is like the stereotypical, like, oh, that person's a Karen. Is
yeah,
that,
but it gives it, it has a different meaning for Pastor Matt.
So my mom's name's Karen.
So yes, and sure.
But if you're referring to the stereotypical Karen, then yes as well, because when we ran the nursery garden center, it's retail guys.
Right.
And so yeah. Where are you going to run into Karens?
Retail. Customer service.
And, yep. You know, all you need to do is have one bad experience, and there you go. You met her.
I would assume in pastoring as well, you run into Karen's.
Count it all joy when you come into various trials.
I don't know. I wouldn't say so much in pastoring. I think that, I don't know. For me, like, what's the stereotypical Karen? Let's define that before we ask whether or not you've run into one in pastoring, because the stereotypical Karen is somebody that either wants something for nothing or, you know, bought something and didn't get what they thought that they were supposed to get, or what they bought broke and, you know, they want an ungodly, unreasonable amount of compensation for, right? That's the
stereotypical. A sense of entitlement.
Correct.
I don't know that I've experienced that in ministry. I'm not saying that they're not there. I just haven't experienced it. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Nice. So, for those who are listening who don't know Pastor Matt, he is a wealth of knowledge and trivia. So, this question, what's the most interesting piece of trivia that you know?
I have no idea.
That's a hard question.
That though. Is such like, a hard question.
That's like the question, tell me something you don't know.
Yeah, like.
What is it? What's the most interesting piece of trivia you know? George Washington Carver invented the peanut?
He did not invent the peanut.
Oh my God.
I'm not going to relent.
So I don't know what the most, let me think for a second.
Well, maybe I'll accept if your favorite piece of trivia.
Honestly, I don't even know what trivia I know. I know a lot of
fun
trivia.
Fun fact that most people don't know that you could bust out at a party. Like, yo, you want to hear something weird?
No, my trivia isn't really like party trivia. We were playing trivia one time on, it was like, I don't know, Christmas Eve or something. They pulled out trivia. And so I got put with my brother and sister-in-law who were both trying to clean up. My like 8-year-old nephew at the time, like everybody on my team was not good at trivia. And on the other team stood all of the peoples that had master's degrees and, you know, theologians, and they were all on the other team. And so I'm like,
the floor with
them. I'm like by myself. And so they started asking the questions, and it was like, I knew almost every question. And the other team, suddenly they were like, how do you know all this stuff? And so, you know, it was just a moment where I realized, oh, I do know a lot of trivia. But when I'm asked, like, what's the most random piece of trivia, I don't even know.
That's a tough question.
It is.
All right. I think we might have to end on this next question. Is there one you feel strongly about? Because there's one I'm interested to ask.
I think at some point before we end, we should hit 6 and then...
All right, do 6 now.
Okay. So
I can't read it. My ink is gone.
So this is back to, you know, serious questions. If the Bible is 100% true, why are there conflicting accounts? In the gospel, there are 2 accounts of the madman of Gadara. I think that's supposed to be like the Gadarenes,
yep.
The demoniac. In one of them, there are 2 men. Why does the number of the Israelites not tally in 2 Samuel and 1 Chronicles? Basically, there's a couple different examples that the person gives in their question. Why are there some seeming discrepancies?
Yeah. So, Zach, you'll know this because you are a police officer. So, in any eyewitness account, different eyewitnesses will have different accounts. Yep. And so, if you've ever been involved in an accident or you've ever been an eyewitness to an accident, you'll notice that the officer will generally interview eyewitnesses separately because he knows that he's going to get different portions of the story from different people. And it would actually be more concerning if all of the stories lined up true and perfectly.
Yeah.
If all of the stories lined up true and perfectly, then we could surmise that they got together and they made this up.
Yeah.
But because they don't line up perfectly, it's more of what we would see in an eyewitness account of, say, an accident that happened down the street.
Yeah.
And so this is why there are inconsistencies throughout the 3 synoptic gospels. And then, like, in the Old Testament, they quoted here, why don't the Israelites tally up? Another thing that you'll notice is that if you ever do a comparison of the number of years that the kings were kings in 1 Kings versus Chronicles, or 1 and 2 Kings versus 1 and 2 Chronicles, the years and the numbers don't line up. Like, they just don't line up. And so it's because that the history recording wasn't perfect at that time, right? Yeah. Why do these numbers not add up? Because what they were doing, it wasn't perfect at that time. And so the Bible's not a perfect history book. I'm not saying that it's not a great history book. It's a great history book. It's not perfect, but it is 100% true in the
spiritual,
in the truths that it's presenting. Mm-hmm. It's true in the truths that it's presenting. The truths that the Bible presents is all 100% true, even though if some of the facts, the historical factual information is a little off here or there.
That makes sense.
Good answer.
Yeah. And it goes back to, it makes me think, like, one, right? You mentioned I was a police officer. When you take statements,
yeah,
you interview everyone separately, and the truth is somewhere in the middle.
Exactly.
it was a white pickup truck. And then some other person's like, I swear, it was a dark brown Datsun.
Oh my gosh. Like, and that's the thing too, is people's perception of things is wildly different because you will have
things like that. It wasn't white, it was cream.
Right. You know, and it was an orange car. No, it was red. No, it was, you know, things are going to be perceived.
It was mauve.
So one of the things that I like to remember when, and I'll say this to other people, is whenever you're talking to somebody, you know, about something that happened, whether it's at an accident scene or, you know, somebody's coming and telling you a story of something that happened, like they got the dirt, and it's, you know, you got to remember, like, there's three sides to every story, you know. There's his side, there's her side, and then there's the truth.
Yeah. Right.
Right? No one's got 100% of the information right.
Yeah. No. Right. And even if the people aren't lying, like you said, it's just they're...
This is the way that they saw it happen.
And that's the way the brain works.
And so if that's what I perceive, then that's reality.
Yep.
Your brain doesn't want a discombobulated picture, so it fills in gaps. Like every time you remember something, it's going to be off just a little bit.
The other thing that makes me think too, like you brought up the tally of the Israelites and stuff like that and not having a perfect system. I'm like, look at all the technology that we have right now.
That screws up all
and
the time.
And we can't get numbers right on things. We have supercomputers and we screw up numbers now. Back then when they're writing on parchment, I'm like, you know.
Yeah. They did pretty good for the equipment they had, huh?
Yeah.
All right, the last one I want to ask. I know there's a few we didn't get to, but this one just seems like fun. If you could have dinner with any three people, dead or alive, who would they be and why?
And why would it be me and Zach and one other person? I'm just
kidding. Already had dinner with you. Already had dinner with you. Gonna have dinner again with you next week. So that's not number one. Jesus, 100%.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Number two, Jesus, and number three, Jesus. Just book them over and over again. No, so if I can't do that,
you can do whatever you want.
I would definitely have dinner with Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of times people are like, you know, I want to ask him all these questions, and I don't.
When like, in his presence.
I just want to sit with him. I just want to be with him. And honestly, I think that there would be more life in it and healing for me if I were to allow him to ask the questions.
Mm, yeah, that's a fantastic point.
You know, so many times we're like, I want to, if I could ask God these questions, if I could, there's a country song, if I could have a beer with Jesus. I mean, you can just go grab your coffee and sit on your back deck and talk to him.
Yeah.
But you know, there's a scripture. It says, the days will come where I'll be taken away. And then in those days, they will fast, right? Then they'll really want to be with me again. And I know that there is just nothing like being in the presence of Jesus. So I would want, number one, I'd really, really, really want to be with Jesus. Number two, I would really like to have dinner with George Washington. Because I really believe that they knew something that hasn't been properly handed down throughout generations. In the same way that the word has been misinterpreted and misunderstood, and Jesus has been misunderstood through years for many reasons, you know, people's ambitions and seeking to do things for their own glory rather than for God, right? The word's been misinterpreted and misaligned. And I believe that America has been the same. And so I'd really like to have a dinner with George Washington. I'd be fine with Thomas Jefferson. He'd be good too. You know, either one. I'm not picky here. third person would probably be Alexander the Great. Conquered the entire known world. Man, there had to be some kind of a drive in this guy. I get it. Christianity wasn't a thing yet. But he wasn't even, you know, but there's just something there. I would like to sit down with him. The passion that he had to have, the drive that he had to have in order to accomplish that, it'd be really cool.
That's really funny because he was one of mine. Like, what are the chances? Because, you know, when you said George Washington, I was like, oh, that's interesting. So, like, think about, you know, world leaders, and at the time he was the
conquered the entire known world.
Yeah, like
that's wild.
Yeah,
yeah.
So he'd be on my list. Jesus would be on my list too. Just for the same reasons.
Copycat.
Listen, they were good answers, so I'm fine with being a copycat. So those would be my first two, and then totally different from either of them. It would be Cliff Burton, the deceased bassist for Metallica.
Wow.
He was just...
I'm
a bassist, and he was...
He taught you how to play bass.
Yeah, he inspired me, and he's just a fantastic musician. And yeah, I think just be cool. Yeah.
I'm going to copy the Jesus one. That would... I mean, I don't have to explain it anymore. Did it great. And I like the idea of Alexander the Great or George Washington. Another president that I would be super interested to have dinner with, especially given our current circumstance in the nation that people are talking about where we're going, I would love to sit down with Abraham Lincoln. And see, because we talk about how divided we are right now as a people in a country, I want to sit with him and go, okay, you actually were in a time of civil war. Like, what was
ultimate
that?
Ultimate division.
Right. Like, what was, are we really in a similar boat, or are we hyping our own, you know, differences up
right
a little bit more? And to see, you know, and what was that like having to lead the nation through that kind of, you know, I mean, through civil war and through the whole, you know, emancipation process. Like, I think he would be really fascinated to sit down and talk with.
He was my second choice as president, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
I don't know. I'll pick either George Washington or Alexander the Great first. I'll go George. I like George. I got it. I'll go George Washington. So two presidents and then Jesus.
There you go. Those are good answers.
Well, thank you guys again for listening to another episode of the part two of the question and answer with Pastor Matt. Thanks for listening to My Life, Your Life Together podcast. If you guys are listening, like what we do, go ahead and hit like, subscribe, follow. You know, follow us on all our different socials. If you want to support us, buy some merch, share episodes with friends. Hopefully you guys got some good laughs, and hopefully you guys got some good content out of these episodes too. There's some really good questions and some really great answers from Pastor. Thank you, Pastor
Matt, for taking the time.
No, thanks guys for putting this whole thing together, and thank you to everybody who put out those questions.
Yeah. Yeah, that very good point. We had some really good questions.
I did put that in, you know. We had John Paley, who's everybody knows.
Ponjaley.
Yep. We had Esther submit some questions, who's an upcoming guest. And then a few people from our church, Amy, Joe, and then people who wish to be remain anonymous. So thank you, anonymous people, as well. And we will see you next time.